Morning. You all right? Lovely cup of tea first thing in the morning. First thing on a Monday morning. Monday. Another week. Another chance to put right what once went wrong. Come on, wakey wakey, eggs and bakey, out of bed. Come on, sleepyhead. Let's go. Let's go. The day's half over. Let's do it. Are you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? Rocking and raring for the day, nay, the week ahead? I hope so. Hope you had a good weekend and all that stuff. The glorious band, the chosen few, basically the best people on earth. Tune into the Bo Show live. Impeccable taste, if nothing else. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
The disembodied voice of the all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent producer there. Okay, a little bit of housekeeping, a little bit of faff, a little bit of fannying around this morning. Just say if you watched the Lotus Eaters late night Sunday stream last night, we've rejigged the office a bit. It should look exactly the same to you, or more or less exactly the same. You might notice one or two of the camera angles might be ever so slightly different. The lighting might be ever so slightly different. We'll work it out. It's bugs. We'll work it out. We'll get there. I'm looking out on a completely different room, basically. It's completely different for me. All right. Just that. One other small thing. No poll today. No poll today for technical reasons. Harry says it's something to do with YouTube accounts and logging in, and someone else has to log in, and that's not been done, so there's no poll today. So if those people that love a poll, need their poll, need their Breakfast with Bo poll every morning, sorry, can only apologise. We'll try and, we should almost certainly have it tomorrow going forward. One other tiny point. On Friday, or was it Thursday, I can't remember, someone in the chat said something about 150 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere, and I just got the wrong end of the stick. So whoever that was, I certainly can't remember who it was. I'm pretty sure I just got the wrong end of the stick. Later that day, someone on Twitter said, Bo, they're obviously talking about if it drops below 150 parts per million, then that's disastrous as well. And as soon as I saw that on Twitter, I was like, oh, yeah, that's almost certainly what they meant, yeah. And live on air, I got the wrong end of the stick. So whoever that was, apologies. It's live, isn't it? Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show, colloquially known as the Bo Show. It is live, so I will get the wrong end of the stick occasionally on stuff like that. I can only apologise and then try and correct myself afterwards. So, okay. I think that's all the fannying about necessary this morning, isn't it? I think that's more than enough faffing about, isn't it? Should we just get straight on with it? This show's supposed to be all about what is in the legacy corporate lamestream media on any given day, the news cycle, particularly Fleet Street, particularly the papers, the front pages. Should we just jump straight into that? What's that cabal? Quite frankly, evil cabal of Fleet Street editors trying to beam directly into our brain boxes. What are they lying to us about by omission? Well, okay, we've got, on Monday, the 9th of September in the Avalon 2026, we've got losing battle to halt Russia's hybrid war. Yeah, probably, yeah. And oh shoot. Just an individual story of a woman that nearly died in a parachute accident but didn't. Okay. AFD, the AFD is the next biggest story. Let's jump straight into it. The FT, the Financial Times. Here we go. AFD, Alternative for Deutschland. That was a bad German accent, wasn't it? None of my accents are great, are they? Okay. Far right rise. AFD surges to Germany win. They're not really far right. I would say that. I would say Germany's not. Germany. AFD is not massively far right. I'd put them right of centre, centrist, just pretty reasonable stuff, really, AFD. Just don't want their country to be annihilated. It's not like they've got truly, truly far right views or anything. I mean, their leader's a woman that's a lesbian in a relationship with a foreign person, isn't she? Somebody yesterday said to me she's Jewish. She's not Jewish. I looked it up. She's Catholic. Anyway. So they're not. Although I did see a thing about AFD that they didn't want to ban all pride stuff, but what was it? I think they wanted to ban pride flags in schools or something like that. All right, so AFD is just better than any other realistic alternative in Germany, isn't it? It's as simple as that, like National Rally or like Restore or Reform. It's not necessarily the be-all and end-all and the perfect fix and everything. None of those go far enough for me personally, but it's the best you've got. You know, realistically, best you've got, so, okay, good on them. There was local elections, or like regional elections. I suppose perhaps the rough equivalent in Britain would be, you know, we've got Scotland and Northern Ireland, should be. Wales got their own devolved government. It's not really a great parallel, but something like that in Germany. And in, like, the Saxony region, wasn't it? It was in the Saxony region. AfD surged ahead massively. I mean, look at that. They got 44%. And, like, the ruling party, the Christian Democrats, like Merz's party and that, like the main establishment party in Germany, you would say, I suppose, did even worse than expected. 18.5%. They're expected to break 20 at least. So AfD, at least in Saxony, I think it was Saxony, did better, a bit better than expected, and CDU did a bit worse than expected, but one way or another, AfD surging ahead there. Will they be able to actually just formally, completely make a government in that region, just completely on their own? They're saying no, they've fallen just short. Well, you need 50%, I believe, that's how it works. There may be one of the smaller parties, a left-leaning party, one of the smaller left-leaning parties, which maybe, there's rumours, there's rumblings, that they might break this sort of cordon sanitaire thing, this sort of firewall thing they've got in Germany, where they say every other party will gang up and form any coalition necessary to keep AfD out. Classic, isn't it? Classic lefty. Classic centrist lefty thing. Anyone's a tiny bit patriotic, tiniest bit nativist, everyone else will gang up against them. Whether you call it a firewall or cordon sanitaire, whatever it is. There's apparently one of the parties might break, lefty sort of parties, might break ranks on that, join with AfD in a coalition, and boom, job done, over the line. Maybe. We'll see about that, I suppose. I believe that's sort of what's being wrangled over at the moment, quite literally as we speak, I would have thought. So there's that. All right, AfD doing well. Could they form an actual full-blown government, would that Alice woman, Alice Weidel, could she be the Chancellor of Germany in the next few years? I actually don't know when the next German full election is for their president and stuff. Imagine that, though, if you got AfD as the government in Germany, National Rally, Marine Le Pen as the government in France. Could be different. Between them, could dish out some sort of death blow to the European Union. The European project could sort of fatally weaken it. And that's the least of it, right? They could actually try and get their countries back a bit. At least stop the bleeding. That's the first thing, right? There's one thing about remigration. We all want remigration, not all of us. I do. Most people watching this, a lot of us want remigration. But the first thing to do, isn't it? The very, very first thing is to stop the bleeding. To stop endless hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, coming here. Stop that first. Put a tourniquet on the bleeding limb. Start there. Got to start there. Okay. Good for AfD. I once interviewed Peter Boehringer, right here on Lotus Eaters, at this very desk. Peter Boehringer, a senior guy at the AfD. This was about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now. Good bloke, completely reasonable, basically like a centrist dad type dude. And that's no shade. I'm not throwing shade at Peter Boehringer there. Not remotely. He's a good dude, I'm saying. He's a good dude. Germans should be allowed a country that isn't flooded by foreign people as a matter of course, to the point where their demographics are utterly ruined for all time. Yes. All right. Europe is losing battle to halt Russia's hybrid war, defence officials warn. Moscow emboldened by impunity. Yep. Call for firmer NATO deterrence. Weak response risks escalation. Who's saying this? Where's this all coming from? Nameless intelligence services type sources. Nameless military sources. All right. All right. I wonder if they've got a vested interest in presenting a particular view. Who knows? It may well all be perfectly true and accurate. I mean, an element of it probably is. One thing I'll say again with the change of studio. The screens. We've got the same size screens with the same size font. And they're even further away from me. Only by only to the tune of a couple more foot. But I was already struggling right at the limit. There's no way I can read like that. You can see on the screen, can't you, how small that writing is? There's no way I can read that at like 10 foot away, 12 foot away, 15 odd foot away. There's no way. There's no way. Okay. All right. What else have we got? What have we got? The Express. Oh, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. Being sarcastic, false, that's an Alan Partridge line. It is complete slop. Globalist subversion. The Daily Express. Wearing the skin suit is something that's patriotic and or nativist. It's not. Government warned, we can't just cross our fingers that war never comes. Well, that's true at all times, isn't it? Till there's some sort of profound change in the human condition and men, powerful men, ambitious men, no longer feel the need to ever go to war. That will always be the case, won't it? Weak Britain, a prime target for Russian sabotage attacks. I mean, yeah. Britain is weak, and the government must act to prevent sabotage attacks that are linked to Russia, experts say. Yeah, I can believe that, yeah. Like, I don't think, despite Russia's saber-rattling, they're actually going to send fast jets to bomb us or anything. But cyber attack stuff, oh yeah. I would have thought so. Well, they already have, haven't they, a number of times already, so. It's our computer boffins versus their computer boffins. Historically, we've been quite good on the boffin front, haven't we, Britain? But then, so have the Ruskies, to be fair to them. So have the Ruskies. All right, The Express thinks that's the most important thing. Also, Arsenal beat Chelsea. We don't care about football, do we? Well, I do. But, I mean, the vast majority of the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, you don't care about football. Let's move on. All right, the Sun also go with football. That the Gooners beat Chelsea. Oh, yeah. Arsenal fans are called Gooners. Yeah. Okay. Exclusive, a skydiver miracle. Oh, shoot. So this is that story. The Sun thinks this is the most important thing in the world. I mean, it's a remarkable story, but is it front page? National front page. So this woman, she was skydiving, and some other dude, I guess that's a dude, it might be a woman, looks like a dude, accidentally booted her in the head midair at 10,000 feet or more. Maybe spinning around, who knows, I haven't seen the footage. He booted her in the head by accident, knocked her out cold, sparked her out. She falls 10,000 feet odd. Her parachute did open, though. I don't know if she came round just beforehand or what, but the story says, the little blurb I read this morning, her chute did open, but when she was quite relatively close to the ground, so she was still coming in fast. She hit a tree. That helped break her fall as well. And she survived. That's it. That's the story. Holly KO'd in mid-air clash with fellow jumper, free falls for 10,000 feet, hits tree and still survives. There you go, that's it, that's all the detail. Look, she's got crutches there, maybe she would still break a leg or a hip or something, I don't know. She's not dead. All right, interesting, mildly interesting story. Not national news, is it? It's just not. It's not even close, is it? I mean, as an and finally story, it's a bit weak. Woman nearly died, but totally didn't. Oh. All right. Well, let's just move on. The Independent. The weird little banner opinion pieces things they do in the corporate lamestream media that's all one big cabal. Some woman called Charlotte Cripps, never heard of her. I married my holiday romance in haste at 18, idiot. And then I repented at leisure. Oh, God, don't care. How is that top of a national newspaper? God, dang it. All right. Kushner and Witkoff are meeting with the little weird goblin Zelensky tyrant who doesn't have elections anymore. All right. Far right in Germany set for historic victory. AfD project. Well, the Independent must have gone to print just before the results last night because they're saying it's all predicted. It hasn't happened yet. It has happened yet. Some of the other papers that obviously go to print a bit later actually have the result. But the Independent is saying they're predicted to win 44.5%. of the vote in biggest victory yet for far-right pro-Russian party. A seismic moment for post-war Germany. They're pro-Russian. They're far-right. They're anti-LGBTQ+. And yet half of Germans, at least nearly half of Germans, at least in that part of Germany, happy to vote for them. Yeah, because we're done with this paradigm. A lot of white native Europeans are done with being gaslit into being sort of, or guilt-tripped into just allowing themselves to be flooded by foreign rapists and murderers. Flooded to the point of demographic replacement. Yeah, we're done with that. We tried that, didn't we? We tried that for a few decades now. It's not working out all that well. It's simply putting women and children in danger. It's simply locking in a future sectarian nightmare. So we're done with that. The Independent, thanks for trying to tell us that they're evil, effectively. Far-right pro-Russian. Thanks for that. Not interested. Next thing. The Times. The venerable Times. Germany is hard right. Some say far right, some say extreme far right. They're going with hard right. Germany's hard right AfD celebrates biggest election success yet. I wonder if the corporate lamestream media, legacy lamestream media, I wonder if AfD get in, National Rally get in, Reform or Restore or whatever, some sort of nominally right of centre party gets in Britain, Spain turn it around and get some sort of nationalist-like type government. I wonder if, when most of Europe is governed by, again, nominally right of centre parties, will the corporate mainstream media still, across the board, be trying to denigrate them as hard right, far right? I imagine they will. They're just all day, every day. All the governments of Europe, nearly. From Sweden to Spain. From Britain to Bulgaria. They're all far-right extreme. All the people in Europe are mad and wrong-headed and Nazi for having voted in hard-right, extreme, far-right parties. You see, they're out of step, aren't they? The legacy corporate lamestream media. They're out of sync. They're not really reading the room, are they? Very, very proactively, deliberately not reading the room day after day after day, aren't they? Or they're all owned and staffed by and edited by boomertards. They just refuse to give up the old paradigm that anything that isn't left, essentially left, is evil and bad and far right. And we go, all right, there's a picture of Pamela Anderson. Yeah, that's Pamela Anderson. Well, she's not wearing much makeup and she's knocking 60. I mean, she's, what's that, 58 or 59? So, still not bad for her age, I suppose. But looks like a different face, doesn't it, to me? But no shade. I'm not throwing any shade. I'm just saying, that's Pamela Anderson. Here you go. Okay, this story. Just 1% of asylum pleas are genuine, says Insider. Yeah, I mean, how it's taken this long to get a story like that to get on the front page or any real mainstream media. Yeah, the vast majority of these invaders are not genuine asylum seekers. Yeah. Yes, we've been saying that for a long time. So I read this story. This story says that the immigrants, the asylum seekers, sorry, the invaders, their stories are recycled by claimants. And it's a running joke within the Home Office, within the departments which supposedly are supposed to grant asylum. Yeah, they said there's just they turn up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands of them, turn up with the exact same stories to the point where it's obviously a joke. They've obviously just been coached to say a certain thing which should tick all the boxes for the Home Office and just get you through, no questions asked or minimal questions asked. Things like, you claim to be an Iraqi Kurd. You might not be an Iraqi Kurd, but you claim to be an Iraqi Kurd for political reasons. this country will look more kindly on you if you're an Iraqi Kurd than if you're just an Iraqi, or you're just an Iranian, or you're just a Syrian, or an Armenian, or whatever. Say you're a Kurd. Say you're a northern Iraqi Kurd. Things will go a lot easier for you. And say specific things, really specific things. And hundreds of them all say the same things. Say the same number of... You're facing trouble back home just for being alive, so you can't send me back, that sort of thing. Apparently one of the ones the Pakistanis use, specifically Pakistanis, is gay, that they're gay. There's been all sorts of reporting on that before, specifically that before, hasn't there, in the last few months? Well, according to this story, there's one particular gay club in London. I can't remember what they called it. Something 800. Was it Legs 800 or something? I'd never heard of it. Although that's what I would say, isn't it? I'd never heard of it. Apparently there's some gay club in London called Legs something. And these Pakistanis go there and have a photo taken there. Like loads of them. Like hundreds and hundreds, apparently, have done this. And then when the Home Office or whoever asks them, they'll show them a picture of that. They go, look, that's proof I'm gay. I was in a gay club one time. That's going to get clipped, isn't it? got to be careful what you say in the first person. They say that they are gay because they were in a gay club. All right. And then, of course, you can't send them back to Pakistan because they might be, you know, tortured or beaten or just put in prison or whatever, because that's what you get in Pakistan. So we must stay here forever. Oh, and bring over our families next as well. Our massive families. And loads of them have got health problems and they need access to the NHS and dentists. And on and on and on and on. Loads of them doing it. They're specifically the Pakistanis. The Bangladeshis have got a slightly different grift, apparently. What was it? Lots and lots and... Again, to the tunes of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. What was it? The Bangladeshis... Oh, I can't remember. They had some different scam. Some different nonsense scam. Right. And so, in fact, the article said that at best, 1% of asylum pleas are genuine. At best. And that everyone that's worked in the sector, if they're honest with themselves, knows this. That the whole thing is one giant fraud machine. The whole thing is just one giant farce. Yeah, we know. Thanks for blowing the whistle, though, and somehow getting it on the front page of the Times, the Venerable Times. But yeah, we know, yeah. Anyone that's been honest with themselves for a long time, we know this. But good that it's breaking through. You know, maybe a few normies will see this, and it's the first they've ever heard of it. And they're less likely to vote Lib Dem or Green now, or Labour. Okay. All right, where else we got? The Mail. Something about menopause supplements. Don't care. Sorry, not what this show is about. Shabana Mahmood, the Pakistani woman, bizarrely, perversely finds herself LARPing as the Home Secretary. A vowed crackdown, but nearly a year on, she hasn't acted. Yeah, because that's what they do. That's the MO. Every time. Yeah, don't be surprised. Headline says, Labour chickens out on curbing migrant rights. Yeah. Because that's what they do. That's what they've always done. That's what the Tories did for 14 straight years. Are we going to get tough on it? Yeah, we're going to cap migration at 10,000. Then they don't. We're going to stop the boats. Rishi's whole slogan for government, stop the boats. Didn't stop one boat. Yeah, Labour, Mahmood. Oh, we're going to make it a lot more tough for migrants. We're going to make it less appealing for migrants. We're going to restrict their rights in various ways. We're going to make it harder for them to get citizenship, etc., etc., etc. We're waiting. Just not doing it. Yeah, throw out a bit of red meat and then just not do anything. Yeah. And repeat for decades. All right. Yeah, we get it. We see. It's not that complicated, is it? It's not that Machiavellian. Difficult to unravel that, is it? All right, that cup of tea's done. Let's revert to my backup water. It's water in this one, not a second cup of tea. Mm. Right. Righty-ho. What else have we got? J.K. Rowling. Something about J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling and the magically vanishing super yacht name. Oh, yeah, barely news. Seems J.K. Rowling's got a yacht. And she's, like, changed the name on it, or had the name wiped off the side of it. That's it, so... I've always said, if I had Bill Gates money, if I had Elon money, I don't think I'd buy a yacht. Still don't think I'd buy a yacht. Even if I could pay for it with the interest on my billions, I still wouldn't, I don't think. If I want to go on a yachting holiday, I'll just charter one. That's just me. Okay. The Guardian, ugh. Disdain cam. No, get it, Harry, that one, the other one. Boom. Teething problems in the new office. The Guardian. Ooh, gross. The Guardian, all right, The Guardian. Gross, absolutely disgusting, sickening perversion. Globalist slop, anti-British. Anti-white, revolting. What do they say for us here? Families scramble to secure SEND plans ahead of ministers' reforms. SEND is, for special needs kids. And it's jumped like 100% in 1 year or something. It was old, actually. I did read this article. Some of the numbers don't seem to add up. Like, at one point, they say that last year and this year, the numbers both jumped by 11%. Then in the same article, they say that 1 year ago, it was 1 in 20 school children require sort of SEND. That already seems crazily high to me. Crazily high. When I was in school, primary school, there was one kid in the whole school that was like, you know, truly special needs. Proper, not just a little bit autistic, not just a little bit ADHD. There's probably loads of those. But like truly, truly needed specialist help. There's one kid in the whole school, not the whole year, the whole school. And then in my secondary school, obviously bigger, it's going to be a lot bigger than a primary school, isn't it? There was like, I'm not sure, I don't think there was any in my year, and there was like one or two in the whole school. Not one in 20. So anyway, since last year, it's jumped to 1 in 10. 1 in 10. Is it being overdiagnosed? And ministers are going to change, the government's going to change the rules around it a bit. And families are scrambling to get in before it changes. What might have changed? Is it loads and loads of inbred Muslim kids? Let's be painfully honest. What has changed since I was in school in the 80s and 90s? What might have changed to make an explosion of special needs kids between now, then and now? Is it the crazy amount of inbreeding, first cover marriages within the Muslim community? And that loads of their kids, as a result of special needs, loads. Is that one element of it? Is it that some children are being over-diagnosed? Now, apparently, 1 in 10 of our children are special needs. Are they? Are they really? All right. The Guardian, far-right AfD wins German poll. They're scared, aren't they? The Guardian. Of the general trend across Europe, across the Anglosphere, towards the right, the general trend rightward. There you go, that's the Alice woman. That's the guy I think that will be in power, if they can make the coalition work in the Saxony region. Okay, the Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. There's Pammy again, 60-year-old Pammy, or nearly 60-year-old Pammy. Not bad. Minimal makeup. Fair enough. She's living her life like it's golden. I don't know anything about Pammy's life. Okay. Well, she's got hepatitis, hasn't she? Didn't she get hepatitis off of Tommy Lee? You don't get better from that, do you? It's one of those things you just have for all time, isn't it? Okay. I'd say get well soon, Pammy, but you just don't get well from it, do you? I can't remember which type. Was it the bad one? Hep B is the really bad one that sort of definitely kills you, isn't it? I'm not sure if it was that one. Anyway. That's what you get if you get into a relationship with disease-riddled drummer. Okay. Enough about Pammy. Scrap the triple lock, businesses tell Healey. Call comes as Chancellor prepares to outline economic vision in his first major speech. I think it's today. Apologies if I got the details slightly wrong. I think it might be today that the Chancellor is doing his speech. It's not the full budget, is it? Anyway, it wasn't just any old people say ask for calling for the scrap the triple lock. It was the British Chamber of Commerce. Right, so yeah, who represent like millions of workers, 7.4 million workers. They say, they're saying that, well, they're actually speaking some sense. This country needs to start saving billions of pounds. It needs to have done that yesterday, you know. The biggest things by far is the welfare system, the NHS, and pensions. That's not nice for any of those things to be cut, is it? Well, for me, I'd happily cut the welfare system in order to make loads of foreign people go home. So that I wouldn't lose a wink of sleep over. But, you know, pensions and the NHS, you don't want anyone to be in more pain and misery than they otherwise necessarily need be, of course. Anyway, politically cutting the NHS, welfare and pensions is not good, is it? For the politicians. They're going to lose support and votes if they do any of that. And yet, we talked about it last week, didn't we? And Dan Tubb did a good video on it, and it's not new anyway. And yet, it's what's required. You're going to have to cut spending. Can't really print tons more money, quantitative easing. Can't squeeze the gilt market any much more. That's starting to crack and break, isn't it? The pips are going squeak a bit on the bond markets. Can't print tons more money. Can't tax people much more. Well, you can, but it's a bell curve, so you're actually getting less money. So what's left? What's left? What else is there? Stop spending. Stop spending an insane amount. Well, the British Chamber of Commerce says scrap the triple lock. It's just too much. It's just too expensive. Now, that's not fair, is it? On people that have paid into it their whole time, that paid into it their whole life, and then at the last moment they get the rug pulled out from under them by the government. Oh, and it's gone. And your pension's gone. Well, it won't be entirely gone. It'll just be less than you thought you would get at this point. I mean, younger people, probably people of my age, I fully expect to have zero state pension by the time I'm eligible for it. If I live that long, I am a smoker. And probably by that time, you'll have to be 80 before you're allowed any money out of it. I honestly, genuinely, am not counting on a single penny from a state pension. And as for Zoomers, almost certainly not. I would have thought not. I don't want to be a doomer about it, just being realistic. I doubt Zoomers will see any money out of a state pension. So the current crop of boomers that always moan, there's any even a question about the triple lock, it's like, yeah, I mean, you're not the only ones. You're still going to get a pension, at least, state pension, at least. It might not be the absolute best version of it. I don't know, there's something bigger at play here than your pension, state pension. There's something bigger at play here. The entire country, the economy of this country is at stake. There you go, I've got some sympathy. I have. You know, it's not fair. It's not fair. Then that's what leftist economic theory does. This is what Keynesianism leads to. That you can spend your way out of economic problems. You can print money your way out of economic problems. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Always was. Okay. Anti-immigrant AfD hails historic win in German state. Okay, we've done that, haven't we? Prescribe exercise to prostate cancer patients, study finds. It's not as bad as it sounds. It's not instead of actual medicine and care. It's whilst you're on. It's whilst you're going through the process of actual care. Also do exercise, it's saying. So again, the headline is a bit more a little bit misleading, a little bit more sensationalist than the actual thing. Khan, Sadiq Khan, Mohammed Sadiq Khan, not to be confused with the 7-7 bomber, but the mayor of London, bizarrely, his green targets will strangle growth. Yeah. Yeah, green targets strangle growth. Yes, we know. We know this. British Museum to hold reparations talks. The British Museum, so captured, so unbelievably captured by our racial, ethnic and tribal enemies. George Osborne sitting at the top of that. Don't ask about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein and the fifth Baron Rothschilds and Ehud Barak and Peter Manson. Don't ask about that. But he is the head of the British Museum, effectively, and it is super woke and subversive now. Which is a shame, because I love the British Museum. What the British Museum is, it's like some sort of cathedral to history. I love it. Love it. But it is now subversive when they put on different shows, different exhibitions. Very often, lectures, series, all sorts of things. Very, very often, it's just the pure anti-Western, anti-white, anti-British, all the whole nine yards, all those stuff. Well, now, look, yeah, now they're going to hold talks with people from the Caribbean, basically, I think it is, about just giving back all their trinkets we've got in the British Museum. Yeah, fine, do it. Yeah, I've always thought that. You go in the British Museum, and there's, like, the famous, the great sort of Egyptian galleries, the Greek and Roman galleries, Anglo-Saxon galleries. Brilliant stuff, amazing stuff. And then there's a few other galleries that no one really goes into, like medieval Japan. It's not that it's not good, just people don't, not far less interested in that. And there's a whole room about like sub-Saharan Africa, about like the Benin. There's a few trinkets from Benin. No one's interested, no one really is interested in that, goes in there, cares about that really. Again, they're not really treasures. They're like trinkets, and they want them back, or the Caribbean people want some of their things back that we were either given or bought legitimately. It's stolen. Not stolen. I don't think they're stolen. Even the Elgin marbles were legitimately taken from the Turkish overlords of Greece at that time. Anyway. They're given back. Yes, don't care. Yeah, have them. Have your bit of tat back. Yeah, it's fine. Problem is, though, it sets a precedent, though, doesn't it? So what are we going to have? I mean, take it to its logical conclusion. Every museum and gallery in the whole world can only exhibit things that were created in that country by the indigenous people of that country, only, ever, in the whole world. Is that the path we're going down now? I guess it is. I guess that's what they would want. If you ever want to see a Roman artifact, you have to go to Italy. Is that right? If you ever want to see an Egyptian artifact, you have to go to Egypt. Is that what we're talking about? If you live in a foreign country and you want to see an Anglo-Saxon sword, piece of archaeology dug out of the ground that's Anglo-Saxon, you could only ever see that with your own two eyeballs if you came to Britain. Well, that's the logical conclusion of all of this, isn't it? Or the wokists and progressives could just get over themselves and be told no. Do that, couldn't we? All right, the Mirror. The Mirror, which is basically a propaganda mouthpiece for the Labour Party at this point. Their reform derangement syndrome, off the charts. Oh, they've decided not to go for something about reform for once. For once. Toll of abuse and violence. A&E heroes under attack. Survey reveals staff face daily threats from people they are trying to help. That never used to be the case all that much. I remember when I was young, wasn't much of a thing. The ambulance staff and the actual doctors and nurses in the hospitals are like regularly abused and or assaulted. What changed? What happened? Why have just the native British white people just become way more abusive towards hospital staff over the last 15, 20 years? It says, shattered A&E staff are under attack on a daily basis with workers kicked, punched and racially abused as they try to save lives. Ah, all right. Get it. Okay, I get it. Oh, I see. Racially abused, right. Is that native white people racially abusing the black and brown workers at A&E. Is that what it is? Doubt it. Doubt it. Is it the other way around? Is it black and brown people, foreign people from different cultures, different civilizations, coming here, and then for whatever reason, deciding to abuse and assault A&E heroes? Is that what it is? Well, it is what it is, isn't it? Racially abused. More safe on legal routes, if anything, though. That's what we're told, aren't we? The vast majority of parliamentarians, the vast majority of them. Got a few of the reform MPs that wouldn't say that, one or two Tories that wouldn't say that, but most of them just talking about more safe and legal routes, if anything. Certainly can't have re-migration, and even the idea of a cap, even the idea of putting a tourniquet on the bleeding in terms of immigration, even that, no, no. You have to be a far-right fantasist, you have to be a bigot, a Nazi, to talk like that. More safe and legal routes, if anything. Don't worry about the pressure on the schools, on housing, on the NHS, on the prisons, on everything, on the welfare state. Don't worry about any of that. Just more safe and legal routes. Britain is now just an overflow car park for the human detritus of the whole world now. More safe and legal routes. They're mad, aren't they? Mad. And they think that paradigm will last forever. Look what's going on in Dover and Portsmouth. We haven't even talked about that yet today, have we? It's already 22. Okay, the Metro. Ooh. The Metro. Ew. Disgusting. Disgusting. Like a crushed slug. Stomach churning. The Metro. Farage accused. Okay, there you go. They've got a bit of reformed arrangement here. Farage accused over conference chaos. I was reform attack victim. Gutted. Oh, well. Reform had their conference, made part of their conference over the weekend, didn't they? A number of mildly interesting things politically came out of it. But I suppose one of the main things was there was more than one woman, some weird progressive, lefty, leftoid, outgroup-loving freak of a woman stood up, more than one of them, stood up and tried to heckle, or did heckle. And the people around them, just the people that randomly were near them, sort of did, well, there's footage, you can see for yourself, I did assault them, basically. I just grab them, grab their hair, bundle them out as quickly as possible. Like a mild assault. Well, don't heckle at a conference then. If you don't want to be bundled out of an auditorium, don't heckle at a political rally. Oh, they pulled my hair. Oh, well. Yeah, it's bad, yeah. Maybe the people that did that might be asked a few questions by the police. Maybe, maybe not. But, oh, well. You know what would be the other way around? If like, the Socialist Workers Party, say, got big and had a massive conference where there's thousands and thousands of people and some restore or reform or Tory stood up going, bloody communists, you know what would happen to you there? Yeah, you'd be lucky to get away with a few scratches and a hair pull. Sorry, no sympathy. No sympathy. Personally. All right. The Eye paper. Farage rivals circle after reform's difficult week. Do they? All right. I think Nigel, at least for now, has got that party on lockdown. Unless he personally gets scandaled into oblivion, which may or may not happen. We still don't know. Like Zia or Tice or Jenrick, they're not toppling Nigel anytime soon. Okay, all right. Blunkett, David Blunkett. Anyone remember David Blunkett from yesteryear, from the Blair years? Or he's in government during the Brown years as well, Gordon Brown, texture like sun. He's blind, isn't he? Anyone didn't know? He's a blind man. He was Home Secretary, remarkably. I would have thought it might have been one of the prerequisites to be Home Secretary, is that you're able to see things, but apparently not. Apparently not. I'm not having a pop at blind people, by the way, there. I'm not needlessly dunking on blind people. I'm just saying. You would have thought. You only have so much described to you. Anyway, David Blunkett's blind. And he says, to Burnham, find the money to fund end-of-life care. You know, it was one of the things Burnham said he was going to, like, do as a priority, wasn't he? Sort of palliative care, end-of-life care, hospices, all that sort of thing. It was one of his, like, first pledges, wasn't it? He was talking about that. He was talking about ending homelessness by Christmas. All homelessness is going to be ended by Christmas, Manchester style, he was saying. These were some of the first things he was saying before he was even really in number 10. But now, now it's requiring 300 MPs, including the gravitas of Mr. Blunkett, to remind the Prime Minister of that. Let's read the blurb real quick. Lord Blunkett, a key ally of the Prime Minister, has joined almost 300 PMs and peers in a call to boost funding for hospices, which are facing a £745 million gap. Relatives say their loved ones are being left to die in hospital corridors and busy impersonal wards as a result of financial crisis engulfing end-of-life provision. Blunkett, who wants Andy Burnham to provide half the funding for hospices, is calling for action before Parliament debates assisted dying legislation again. This will will bring about fairness and much needed stability and a recognition of the critical role hospices play in England and Wales, the Labour grandee says. The Chancellor, John Healey, will insist the economy is, quote, turning a corner, quote. It's turning a corner turning a corner downwards or something. Yeah, it's turning a corner. Is it John? He will insist it's turning a corner today as he seeks to claim market jitters. But economists are warning that tax rises or spending cuts are increasingly likely in the budget. Can you imagine John Healey and his team of spin doctors over at the Treasury and or the Cabinet Office or whatever it is? Got a team of political advisors. What are we going to say? What's the line? What's the party line? What's the thing we're going to put out there as sort of a soundbite? Let's throw around some ideas. What if we say that the economy is turning a corner? We won't specify exactly what that really means or whether it's a good corner to turn or anything like that. But it's just turning a corner. John Healey, as the Secretary of State, or one of his senior people, just go, yes. Yes, turning a corner. We like that. Let's do a little bit of research to see how well that plays. Turning a corner. Okay, it seems like that might play well. Let's do it. That's how cynical government is now. Is that? I'm sure something like that played out. That's how it works. Turning a corner. Is it? They're psychos, aren't they? They're psychos. We're facing a terrible, terrible existential problem in terms of the economy. And they say we're turning a corner. Okay. Trying to suggest that it's all good from here on. Or likely to be slightly better from here on. It's not. It won't be. Unless they massively cut spending. Massively. Okay, the Star. What sloppy Joe are they serving up for us today in the Star? What sloppy Joe are they ladling onto our plate today? Slapping in our face. Lone wolf danger warning for Harry and Meghan. Harry and Meg school attack fears. Security worries for kids Archie and Lilibet. I mean, nothing's happened yet. Who knows, maybe their fears are legit. I'm not going to say it's not. But, I mean, can go back to America if you want to, though. You seemed to be all good in California, didn't you? You can bugger off back to California if you're that worried. Or just pay for it yourself. Aren't you a member of an ultra, ultra rich family? But you want the state to pay for this. You want the taxpayer to pay for this. Look, I don't want your kids to be in danger. Let's be honest. That would be psycho, right? Little Archie and little Lilibet should be able to go around in school completely free from any sort of shadow of danger. Yes, 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 yes. And that's probably going to cost a few mil a year to make sure that's the case. Okay. Sorry, isn't your dad and brother both insanely rich? Loads of members of your family. Insanely rich. A few mil a year, they can cover that. Can't you ask your best mate, Elton John, or probably a number of mates? Can't you ask Beckham to chip in? I mean, you've got tons of... Why do they need... Why are they insisting that the muggins over here, the British taxpayer, pays for it? Again, I don't want little Archie and little Lilibet to be in danger. I genuinely don't. But you pay for it. It's your problem. It's a real problem, sure. You pay for it, though. No. They'll try and rinse us for every last penny they can get. Parasites. All right, that's the increasingly absurd and frustrating front pages of the corporate lamestream media. All right. Oh, we haven't got a poll today. Price of crude ticking up, though. Look, price of Brent getting close to that 100, the big 100, the big hundo. Over $97.50 for a barrel of Brent right now. West Texas, just shy of $93 a barrel. Will Mr. Hegseth, Mr. Rubio and Mr. Trump pretend that there's no war going on in Persia for a week or two in order for that price to come back down again? All right. Here we go. Let's talk about something interesting. You might have saw over the weekend down in Dover. It was, what's it called? The Patriot Platform? Was it something to do with Danny Tomo? Organised some sort of rally, march, protest. Peaceful one. I mean, they're all dressed in black, like an Antifa black bloc, covering their faces with balaclavas. But it was peaceful, wasn't it? No. It was peaceful. They weren't turning over any cars. They weren't burning anything. They weren't assaulting anyone. So it's peaceful. Storm Rupert Lowe came out and called them brave patriots, I think. And paraphrase slightly. The government, Burnham and Farage, came out and said it was like disgusting and various things. Again, paraphrasing. Disgusting, terrible. Is it? Why? It was peaceful. What's the problem? We're being invaded by barbarians. We're being invaded by rapists and murderers. And it was a peaceful protest. What's the problem? Well, you didn't like the fact they were covering their faces. Well, it's only prudent, isn't it? Because the police will film anything like that and then you get a knock on the door. What's the problem? It was peaceful, wasn't it? Okay, all right. But then also down in Portsmouth, just last night. Again, because they towed some boat there with 140-odd migrants on it. So, yeah. Government condemns thuggish behaviour in Portsmouth. Is it thuggish? I mean, I haven't seen any footage. To be fair, I haven't seen any footage in the last 12 hours or more. So I've been in bed. So I don't know if there was actually any physical disturbance or if there was any actual thuggish behaviour. But at least from what I saw last night, again, it seemed just peaceful. I might be wrong. Actually, I should reserve judgment because there may well have been something overnight that I haven't seen. So, all right. But nonetheless, the broader point is, how long can the establishment, the globalists, expect normal people to put up with being invaded by rapists and murderers, and the state and the police facilitate the rapists and the murderers, not protecting us? How long do they think that will go on for? Can't go on forever, would it? Will it? It's human nature, isn't it? When you actually fear for your safety and the safety of your kids, quite literally and exactly, how long do they think normal people will just do nothing, say nothing? Quick look at the chat says that it has been entirely peaceful and there was nothing thuggish about it. Okay, I mean, yeah, that's sort of what I expected. Yeah, look, I'm not seeing anything thuggish. It looks entirely peaceful. It looks very, very calm. It looks more calm than a football crowd, doesn't it? All right. Well, Rupert and Restore came out and said they were proud of the patriots, brave patriots. There you go. All right. Look, the mainstream media going a bit spaz about it. Native white British men are actually doing something. Migrant protest chaos. Is it more or less chaotic than having our towns flooded with foreign beast men? More or less chaotic than that, I would ask. But all the main websites.
Oh no.
Some men turned up somewhere. Okay, look, it's all the main ones today. Corporate legacy, lamestream media. The Sun had one slightly different story. Night Stalkers. Hindu hotspots. You know, Hindu, if anyone is foreign, might not know, is, you know, you have a, before you get married, right? Not the women go out on a Hindu. Your last chance to get really, as a woman, your last chance ever to get really drunk, go a bit crazy for a night. A Hindu. Those hotspots are plagued by migrant rapists, right? What's behind the terrifying wave of attacks on defenseless women on nights out? What do you mean, what's behind it? What do you mean? Being flooded by millions of foreign people from different cultures that think that women like that, scantily dressed, completely drunk, are just prey for them. That's what's behind it. We flooded our country with foreign barbarians. What's behind it? Oh, there's this trend. The Sun have suddenly noticed a trend. Oh, well, what explains it? Come on now. Come on. Yeah. Look at these. In this article, it says as many as 15 different examples of this. It's more than 15, isn't it? Why are you pretending it's not happening on a massive scale? And it's not just Hindus. Look at the state of this. He sexually assaulted a woman, and he was telling her, this will teach you not to trust strangers. On the headline, the sub-headline said, what was it? Oh, well, anyway. It was saying a lot of these people should have been deported. Like this guy, for example, should have been deported already before he committed his crimes. Look, this guy just beating up a woman. How often is that? You must have seen loads and loads of clips and examples of some invader approaching a woman, pretty white woman, blonde woman, not always blonde, approaching them, being really sleazy and weird. And the woman's like, no thank you. And then they just beat them up and then they just hit them in the face. Yeah, that happens loads. All across Europe as well. Some weird Middle Eastern or sub-Saharan African dude goes up to a woman, tries to perv on them or just hits on them in some ridiculously crude way, absurd way. And one's just like, no, thank you. There you go, broken nose now. Broken jaw now for that. Oh, right. Broken orbital. Loads. Yeah, so if you're one of these beast men, you're one of these people, and you're here, essentially, one way or another, the reason why you're here is to commit sex crime against white women. Where can I go? Where would that be easily achieved? I know. Late at night, after Hindus turn out, you're likely to find really drunk women. Really quite drunk women. Yeah, hang around there. Do my sex crime there. It's their calculation. Again, I said that in the first person, didn't I? State of it. They shouldn't be in this country, in the wrong country. All right, it's already 9 o'clock. Let's do On This Day in History. I quite like that bit. You guys seem to quite like me doing that bit. On this day in history, down through the centuries, nay the millennia, what happened of note? September the 7th. Let's have a little look-see, shall we? What we got? On this day, in 1714 AD, the Treaty of Baden is signed by the Holy Roman Emperor and France, ending the War of the Spanish Succession. France retains Alsace and Landau, and Austria gains the east bank of the Rhine. Do you reckon I've got long-form content all about the War of the Spanish Succession on my own history-themed show Bodades Epochs, which is behind the paywall on LotusEaters.com. Do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership to get access to hundreds of hours, quite literally, with no exaggeration, hundreds and hundreds of hours of history-themed content with yours truly, a body of work built up over more than 5 years. Oh yeah, it's all there. War of the Spanish Succession? Oh yeah, it's all there. Battle of Blenheim? Just a long-form bit of content on the Battle of Blenheim? It's about 10 years before that, but it's still part of the War of the Spanish Succession. Oh yeah, it's all there. I could easily speak for an hour just off the cuff now about it, but it's not supposed to be a history thing. So if you want that, go over to LotusEaters.com. Oh, also, give a thumbs up on this stream. Make sure you're subbed to the channel and get the old bell on. Get ye olde bell on. Don't cost anything that, does it? Okay, what else we got here? On this day in 1812, whilst there was also war raging in the peninsula, the Spanish Peninsula. Also, the little Corsican corporal, well, he wasn't a corporal, sorry, little Corsican artillery commander, Bonaparte, Napoleon Bonaparte, L'Empereur, is fighting the Battle of Borodino in the Russian steppe. Napoleon Bonaparte wins a Pyrrhic victory, meaning after Pyrrhus of Epirus. Think I've got long-form content all about Pyrrhus of Epirus. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. So, oh, actually, it's on History Bro. Actually. You want me talking long-form content in conversation with Mr. Carl Benjamin? You know Carl Benjamin? Some people call him Sargon of Akkad. Do you want, like, 4 hours or more me talking with Carl about Pyrrhus of Epirus? It's on that channel, History Bro. This isn't real, by the way. This is a digital mock-up. I haven't really got 100,000 subs. Wish I did. That's Pyrrhus of Epirus, who would win victories, but he would damage his own side so bad that it's not much of a real victory. That's a Pyrrhic victory. Okay, so in 1812, the Battle of Borodino, L'Empereur Napoleon Bonaparte, the Corsican monster, wins a Pyrrhic victory against Russian General Mikhail Kutuzov in the most ferocious battle of the Napoleonic era. 70,000 are killed. Yeah. Yeah. By 1812, many say Napoleon had perhaps lost his magic, the sort of magic he brought to places like Marengo. Lost it. Had it? Lost it. Yeah, his ability to do sort of new things, new and innovative things on the battlefield seems to have deserted him by 1812. Although on his long retreat in 1813, he did seem to do some remarkable things. But anyway, Napoleon just tried to batter his way through to Moscow, and he did do it. It was something of a Pyrrhic victory, you can't deny that. Okay, on this day in 1822, Pedro I, son of King John VI, declares Brazil's independence from Portugal. Yeah, he had no choice, really. Yeah, it's a fait accompli by that point. Yeah. All right, on this day in 1888, Edith Eleanor McLean is the first baby to be placed in an incubator at State Emigrant Hospital on Wards Island, New York. Okay, never heard of this before. Bit of a footnote in history thing. Mildly interesting, nonetheless. I believe I myself was in an incubator very, very briefly. I was an early baby. I was caesarean and a little bit early. Not crazily early, but a few weeks. And I think I had a little bit of jaundice as well. I think I was in an incubator. Again, briefly. Anyway, 1888 was the first time that was ever done. Earlier than I would have thought. But there you go, mildly interesting. All right. On this day in 1909, Eugene Lefebvre, no idea how you pronounce that, Lefebvre, how is that pronounced? You tell me. A guy called Eugene became the first pilot to die in an aircraft while testing, while test piloting a new French-built Wright biplane in Juvisy. No idea how to pronounce that either. Mildly interesting. Do you think I've got long-form content all about the history of aviation, military and civil aviation, long-form content, in conversation with retired wing commander, no, squadron leader, retired squadron leader, Tim Davies, RAF? Do you think I've got long-form content all about the history of military and civil aviation with a genuine fast jet pilot? Yeah, I have, yeah, it's all there. LoveSeaters.com. Do consider signing up for this £5 a month bronze tier membership. All right. And the last one today. On this day, 1940, begins the Blitz as the German Luftwaffe bombs London for the first of 57 consecutive nights, losing 41 bombers as the Nazis prepare to invade Britain. It was Operation Sea Lion that Mr. Hitler never did pull the trigger on because he didn't win the Battle of Britain. He really needed air superiority over the Channel before he could launch Sea Lion. By that point, he really needed to be invading Russia. He calculated Operation Barbarossa instead. So Britain avoided being invaded very narrowly. Even to this day, particularly in the southeast, all sorts of pillboxes dotted around the countryside. Like, why is there like a concrete pillbox in the middle of this country park? Because in 1940, they genuinely thought that we might be invaded by Nazi divisions and that we'd have to defend the island. I mean, it was a bit of a last-minute, last-ditch effort thing, a handful of pillboxes dotted around the countryside. Still, that's what they are. They date from then. Okay, there's Winnie there. There's Winnie and his wife, Clemmy, visiting a house that's been bombed out. All right. All right, well, there you go. Let's do our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. It's about the time of the show we do that, don't we? Let me move my mic beam like this so I can see the left-hand side of my screen for Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Is Global Church History going to be in at number one? Okay, Harry, can get rid of that for us. There you go. All right. Rumble Rants and Super Chats. We do our Rumble Rants first. Global Church History. No, he's been pipped. Oh, he's been pipped. Global Church History has been pipped by Global Jewish History. Seems very deliberately doing this now. Global Jewish History, I think, is very, very deliberately trying to pip Global Church History. Okay. At 6:48 a.m., Global Jewish History came in with, on this day in 1969, conservative icon Ronald Reagan signed the first no-fault divorce law in California. This allows millions of women to leave otherwise abusive prisons of marriages. Let's go, girls. Again, I feel like you're skirting the line of whether you're being highly sarcastic or not. Are you being highly sarcastic or not with that? I feel like you are, but maybe you're not. You might not be. Because, of course, these days, we all know, don't we, that divorce laws are heavily, crazily skewed towards the woman. To the point where men don't want to get married. A lot of men don't want to get married because that's how bad the divorce settlement is going to be. But then also, in times past, perhaps not the 1980s, but in, like, centuries past, women genuinely have been locked in a prison of a marriage. That was true. So I don't know. I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or not there. Maybe you're not at all. And you're like, what's Bo talking about? You know what? I quite like that it's ambiguous. Like, I'm not sure if you're taking the mickey or not. I like it. Something to talk about. But... Okay. Global Church History says, today in 1191, King Richard the Lionheart, the Coeur de Lion, Richard I, defeated Saladin at Arsuf. Yes. Got long-form content all about the Third Crusade, Richard the Lionheart, Saladin, the Battle of Arsuf, all of it. £5 a month, bronze tier membership, it's a good deal. You get access to everything. Everything that's behind the paywall. Silver tier and gold tier membership, you get extras. But if you just want everything Loadseaters has ever recorded, essentially, it's £5 a month. Years and years and years. All in all, it'd be thousands of hours of content that's otherwise paywalled. I'm not exaggerating. Over 280 episodes just of the history theme stuff with me. If you want to know, if you want me and Carl, well, that was one where Carl was on it as well. If you want me and Carl, good 3 hours, probably more like 4 or 5 hours, just talking about Richard the Lionheart. Big chunk of that is just the Third Crusade. Consider signing up. All right. There's Global Church History's second factoid of the day. It says, on this day in 1565, the great Spanish relief arrived during the Great Siege of Malta. Not that long ago, only about a year ago, did a whole epoch on that. The Siege of Malta, where it looked like the Muslims were going to take Malta, a Christian outpost. Like, look for all the world. They were definitely going to do it. They sent a giant armada, an army over. Well, the Christians of Malta, 16th century Christians of Malta, put up a valiant defence, refused to give in. Refused. And against all the odds, what do you know? They won, and the Muslim hordes were sent packing, ultimately. Yeah. A little bit of gumption. Yeah. A little bit of backbone. Goes a long way. A little bit of standing up in the face of what looks like insurmountable odds. Yeah. Okay. Pat J. Reed says, time to get your monocle bow to see the further screen. I wish that monocle I've got, it's not like the right prescription or whatever for my eye. I would love it if it was, and it actually zoomed in for me when I put it in, but it doesn't. It just makes it blurry, crazily more blurry. I would like a monocle that did that. I would actually use it. I would use it, like loads, maybe every day if it was that. Okay. Next couple of Rumble Rants are from the same person, Fallen Firebird, who says, if the government actually consider Russia an existential threat, they'd do everything to increase the cohesiveness of Britain. Instead, they flood us with invaders and do far worse than Russia would. And then the second one says, let's do a thought experiment. Say Russia invaded us Battle of Britain style. Horrible and demonic. But what could even that extremity of evil do to us that our foreign invaders haven't, but upscaled? Right, yeah. Would a Russian invading army actually bring about a society that helped police us from the worst excesses of our third world invasion? It's a question, isn't it? It's a question. Yeah, but the point you're making, if our government truly consider Russia an existential threat, why would they be doing everything they're doing? I.e. making us weaker and weaker and weaker on every level. Keep poking the Russian bear in the eye with a dirty stick. Keep making us weaker and weaker. Failing to even spend 3% on defence and on and on and on and on and on. Recognising that our aircraft carriers haven't even got enough destroyers and cruisers to make an actual working carrier group. But not doing anything about it, not quickly anyway, and on and on and on. Yeah, why would they? Yeah. Good question. Valid question. All right, the next one is from Intelligentsia. Intelligentsia says, been watching History Bro over the weekend. Good lad, or lady. Good for you. Impeccable taste. Fantastic work, sir. Oh, thank you. That's very kind. Thank you. He said, I've watched the Hannibal Carl ones. Yeah, I think that's probably the best views I've got ever on that channel was Hannibal of Carthage. Me and Carl, it's like 5 hours, isn't it? Two videos, 2.5 hours a piece, talking about the Second Punic War and Hannibal of Carthage versus Rome, ultimately versus Scipio Africanus. Harry, cut to that camera. Cut to that one. Yeah, History Bro. You want 5 hours of me and Carl talking in extreme detail about the Second Punic War and Hannibal Carthage, Scipio Africanus, quoting like Polybius and everything. Proper. It's there. And then you've also put the World War One one with Godders. Yeah, oh, Godfrey Bloom. Yeah, that was a good one. I spoke to him just last week. Hopefully that will go out this Sunday. We're talking about the decline of empires, particularly the British Empire. Godfrey Bloom, brilliant. He said, and the 1812 with Benjamin Boyce, the war of 1812 between Britain and the United States with Benjamin Boyce, good old Boycey. That's also a good one, yeah. Then you say, look forward to going through them all. Oh, great, thank you. Well, I hope you enjoy them, yeah. And there's no paywall on History Bro. There's no paywall on that. It's all free. So there you go. So, yeah. Thank you, intelligentsia. Thank you, really, genuinely. The Glorious Band, The Chosen Few, Lotus Eaters fans that also go over to History Bro and or State of Politics. State of Politics, very best among us. The best among an already elite bunch. Okay, the next one is from PigDog5150. He says, leftists love to call people Nazis, but don't see the similarities with socialist parties disturbing opposition political rallies. Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Hey, it's a pure hypocrisy, isn't it, from leftists? They can be as disruptive and as subversive and as dangerous as they please. If the right do anything, even turn up and be completely peaceful, that's beyond the pale and evil and Nazi, isn't it? Yeah, oh yeah. It's plain to see, isn't it? If they turn up in a black block with balaclavas, but actually do violent things, you're not supposed to notice. You're not supposed to say a dicky bird about it. You'd probably be a racist if you did. If the right turn up and genuinely are with balaclavas and genuinely are peaceful, no, that's all kinds of wrong. That's disgusting. Yeah, leftist hypocrisy is hard baked into leftism. Yeah. Yeah, it must be. Okay, TomRat247 says, I thought Saint Obama, what's PBUH, what's that? I don't know, probably should know that. He thought that Saint Obama said that protest was the language of the unheard. Right, now only when leftists do it, yeah, when leftists do it, it's the language of the unheard. When anyone that's centrist or right of centre does it, it's disgusting and wrong and needs to be stamped out. Yeah. Yep. Okay, PigDog5150 again says, first day back after a week and the rants are being taken over by Jewish subversives. What the heck? Ha ha ha. All and then you've got a quote. All organisations that are not actually right wing will over time become left wing. That's a quote. Yeah, who said that? I can't remember who said that. Pretty famous quote, I should know off the top of my head who said that. Okay, good quote though. For Tim Barber says, morning Bo, all right? Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How are you? I hope you are good. Thanks for being on the Sunday T-Sup Sunday live stream as well. You say, literally just had a walk back from my local garage for MOT. Pray for me to pass with flying colours. Have a good day ahead, mate. Cheers, you too. Yeah. Hashtag pray for Forte and Barber's MOT result. Everything crossed. Yeah. It'll be a pain, isn't it, if you fail your MOT. He says, oh, no, sorry, mate. You've got to have XYZ done. That's $2,000 now. Okay, another one just popped in. So the last two Rumble rants are both from JC Warlock, who says, why don't we repeal the Territorial Waters Act of 1987? It would delete the Strait of Dover, would be considered international waters, then just send in Blackwater to patrol the waters. Blackwater, private military contractors. They're not called Blackwater anymore. I believe they changed their name again. Didn't Eric Prince change it to like Z or something? But I know Blackwater, private military contractors. And then the other one you said, just need to reduce territorial sea waters by 4 miles, then it's not our problem. Should some S kick off in the international waters? Not a bad idea at all. Yeah, just change the designation from what is or isn't international waters in order so that we can stop our invasion. Yeah. Yeah. In Bowes Britain, I do all sorts of things like that. Fiddle around and tweak and change anything necessary in order to be able to protect our shores. Yes, 100%. You say, why don't we repeal? Well, you know the answer, don't you? Because the government we've got now, it's what they want. You can only come to the conclusion at this point that they want us to be invaded by small boats and illegal migrants. They want us invaded by legal migrants. It's a much, much bigger problem, isn't it? The illegal boat people are a tiny, tiny tip of the iceberg. But nonetheless, you can only come to the conclusion that they want it. It's not by accident that every single day they're not doing anything about it, is it? It's not by accident they're accidentally forgetting that what they could do is put the Marines or the Special Boat Service in the channel to turn the boats back. It's not accidentally failing to do that, is it? You know this. You know this. I'm preaching to the choir here. Okay, that's the last Rumble Rant. Let's have a look at our YouTube Super Chats. All right. Oh, sorry. My mouse and my screen. Having a bit of a moment there. Okay, it looks like it's chilled out. Okay, what have we got? Mr. Gently Benevolent is in at first this morning. He says, Uncle Bo back... Uncle Bozy, friendly neighbourhood history bro. Uncle Bo back in the green suit. Dave will be pleased. Oh, yeah, you think that this is a dog whistle to the Green Party. This is me secretly, or maybe not all that secretly, sending out the message that I'm actually a Green Party partisan. No. It's the yellow tie. I'm actually a Lib Dem deep down. No. Okay. Mr. Gently Benevolent, clearly joking. Back in the green. Dave will be pleased. Dave Paulden, calling himself Zach Polanski for some reason, leader of the Green Party. Even if 100% of claims are valid, asylum claims, I guess you're talking about, not one of them would be worth admitting to the country. Yeah, Britain isn't a refugee camp. It should not be treated as a refugee camp. If you come from somewhere else in the world, you go to the nearest country you can, if you're genuinely a refugee, from Syria or something. You go to the next country, like Turkey or whatever. You claim asylum there. What are you doing in Britain? I go back. This isn't a refugee camp. Yes, you're right, Mr. Gently Benevolent. The next one is also you. You say... I just got to read this in case it's against T's and C's real quick, sorry. Oh, it should be fine. You say... The gays do love a little bald head to polish if the old Ricky Gervais XFM show is anything to go by. Want to admit to anything, Bo? Like Jimmy Somerville. No, I'm straight. I'm in a heterosexual relationship. So I've just got male pattern baldness and I've made the calculation that going bonehead is better than having a really crap half haircut of a bald man. Nothing homosexual about it. In my case. Right. Emily Four Restore says, social media is cack for kids, rewiring brains. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I wouldn't deny that, yeah. That's just the thing, isn't it? A slippery slope. If you start banning things for kids, various things, very, very quickly, Operation Creep, the government will say, oh, it's anyone under... At first, it's only little kids. Then it's anyone under 18. Then it's anyone under 25. Then it's everyone. And it's not just bad content, like obviously bad content, like crazily perverse pornography or snuff footage or whatever. But then it's anything they don't like for anyone. But then you're not wrong saying... you've said social media is crack for kids, rewiring brains. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong to say that, though, are you? That's not a lie, is it? I guess some sort of balance needs to be struck, but I don't know. It should be up to the parents' responsibility, not the state. I'd like the state to be as tiny as possible, as small as possible, involved in people's lives as minimally as possible. It should be a parent's responsibility what their kid does or doesn't see. There's a nightmare scenario, though, isn't it? Kids just at school and some other horrid little kid just shows them their phone. The parents not there, can't be there to protect them from that. Still, is that worry enough to bring in an entirely like censorious society across the board? I don't know. I don't think so. But you're not wrong. You're not wrong, Emily, for Restore. Okay, next one is Mr. Gently Benevolent again. He says, do you at least smoke a pipe or are you some sort of disgusting cigarette puffing prol? Well, I smoke roll-ups, actual cigarettes. I haven't bought a box of cigarettes since I was in my 20s. I don't smoke cigarettes. Once in a blue moon, if I'm out in a pub, I've had a couple of drinks, people are going outside, I might accept a cigarette if someone offers me one. But I don't buy cigarettes. But I don't smoke a pipe either. Actual pipes are very, very carcinogenic. Very. Give you mouth cancer, throat cancer, tongue cancer. You're not really supposed to inhale it down or anything, but still, they're crazily carcinogenic pipes. I smoke roll-ups. Somewhere in between. Yeah, actual cigarettes. smoked some loads in my life when I was younger, at uni and whatever, in my 20s, I say. But nowadays, when I smoke, you smoke a cigarette, like the chemicals, just Golden Virginia rolled up, it's much cleaner. For me, it feels much cleaner, less. Cigarettes just taste like chemicals, you know? To me, anyway, now. Like, I'm inhaling a cocktail of chemicals here. It's not just tobacco, is it? It's not just tobacco I'm inhaling here. There's like a few dozen different things I'm inhaling. Anyway, I smoke rollies. That's me. It's a gross habit, I know. I know it's a gross habit. It's the only one I've got. Other than that, I'm entirely straight edge. Very rarely drink. Don't keep booze in the flat. Rarely go out for drinks for its own sake. Very rarely. Don't do anything else. Nothing. Generally, hand on heart, can say that. The only things I do is tea and rollies. Bit of caffeine, bit of tannin. Not ideal. A little bit of Golden Virginia. That's it. Not too bad in the scheme of things, out of all the vices you could have. If I cut those out, I would be truly straight edge. All right, anyway. Next one, Tatum2733 says, 2030 future jobs. 1, new Napoleon. 2, guy who fights in his army. 3, live stream reactor to war. 4, scavenger. 5, gay journalist. 6, water plumber. You? Question mark. Well, by 2030, I am expecting to be, undisputed hegemon of the world by that point, you know. 3 and a bit years, there's plenty of time for that, I think. World king. I expect to be world king by 2030. I don't know, I'll still be sitting here, won't I? I'll still be sitting here doing this. Well, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed anyway. All right, James Lee Pevenhole, 5087, says, Dover, the cause is just, gangs will shake hands. Oh, the cause is just, gangs will shake hands. Yeah, the cause is just, yes. It's absolutely, yeah, yeah. Absolutely it is. Utterly, utterly just. Just simply trying to prevent our women and children, and in fact men, from more danger. Our country being demographically annihilated. The cause is absolutely just. You're right, James Lee Pevenhole. All right, next one. Emily Forrestore again says, Islamo-commie Green Party conference. Who's coming? Yeah, they're going to have a conference, aren't they? The Green Party. Anyone that's just an environmentalist who's still a member of the Green Party, considering voting Green Party, wake up! Wake up! Get a clue! The Green Party is not about environmentalism. It's not about environmentalism. Get a clue. There is Lamo commies. For God's sake. Inquisitor Media, that's what they've called themselves, at Inquisitor Media says, the leftist outrage, re the reform heckler being hit with walking sticks. Or did they hit her with walking sticks? Only saw a tiny clip. Literally like a second or two on Twitter. They hit her with walking sticks. Oh, the old reformers, grey-haired reformers, boomers hitting her with a walking stick. Is that what happened? Really? Okay. They say, the leftist outrage, re the reform heckler being hit with walking sticks, have at least one tweet celebrating Kirk being shot or young Bob being assaulted. Yeah, yeah. Again, the hypocrisy is hard-baked into leftism. It's one rule for them and one rule for the rest of for everyone else. They can do whatever they want. They can act with impunity, up to and including murder. Yeah. Yeah. We can't do anything. We must sit down, roll over, and be silent whilst they do whatever they want. Yeah. That is the dynamic they want. They'll always want. Yeah. Quite right, Inquisitor Media. Okay, Lydia Dragonborn. That's a cool name. Lydia Dragonborn. Lydia the Tattooed Lady says, re-Sen kids, like the special needs kids. I worked with Sen kids, and there were lots of them, all with genuine disabilities, and none of them were Muslim. And they've got an emoji doing that. Oh, well, fair enough. If you say so, fair enough. Did we go from only one or two per school to one in 10? They all had genuine disabilities, did they? Well, if you say so. If you say so. All right, James Lee Pevenhall says, and none of them were Muslim. There were loads of SEND kids, all with genuine disabilities, and none of them were Muslim, really. James Lee Pevenhall, 5087, says, on this day, Queen Elizabeth I's birthday. Oh, good Queen Bess. In 1533. Yeah, I'm nearly up to good Queen Bess on my history theme content. Over 5 years, I've been doing all the kings and queens of England. Going back to deep in the Anglo-Saxon period. Alfred the Great, or before even. All of them through, nearly all of them. There's a few periods there in the late Anglo-Saxon period where I sort of montaged a bit. But certainly from William the Conqueror all the way through, every single one, long form bit of content on each of the kings and queens. I'm now up to Edward the Sixth. Finished Henry the Eighth, so it'd be Edward the Sixth. Then his big sister, Mary the First, Bloody Mary. Then his other big sister, Good Queen Bess, Elizabeth the First. Okay, it's her birthday today, is it? Oh, well, there you go. I didn't know that. That's a cool factoid. All right, next one here is Brendan Lucas, 9732, said, Thoughts on the canning, or is it caning, of the Type 83 destroyers, or canning, of the Type 83 destroyers and replaced with drones and general vessels. You said yourself the carriers don't even have escorts. Yeah, it's not great, is it? Yeah. Yeah. I quite like Mark Felton, a YouTube history dude and military dude. Great content, I think. Although someone on Twitter, as they said, raise some question marks about his research. But anyway. If they're just replacing all destroyers with drones and general vessels, yeah, it's not going to be... There's no point in having those two giant aircraft carriers then, is there? If you're going to do that, why are we still paying daily for the upkeep of these aircraft carriers and trying to refurbish them all the time, etc., etc., etc.? There is no point having aircraft carriers if they can never sail. Because the whole point of an aircraft carrier is it's actually part of a carrier group, isn't it? Because an aircraft carrier in and of itself is actually a massive sitting target, isn't it? You need loads and loads of other ships to defend it for that whole thing to work, a whole strategy to work. Well, if we're not even going to have hardly any destroyers, we shouldn't bother having those two aircraft carriers we've got, should we? Yeah, I mean, they're my thoughts. Okay, CG Mam 9823 has had their message retracted. Thanks for the $4.99. though, I don't know if you retracted it or one of the mods or something happened, but there's nothing there, so thanks for the fiver anyway, though. Okay, last three here. Holden 4567 says, beautiful scenes in Portsmouth last night. Yeah, it's nice to see. Yeah, not gonna deny it. Okay, penultimate one, Mr. Gently Benevolent again says, the pipe is significantly more stylish, though, Bo. Well, you're not wrong there. I think the aesthetic of a pipe is quite good, quite cool. Yeah, I agree with you. Actually, absolutely agree with you. I'd quite like a long sort of Bilbo Baggins or Gandalf type pipe. Like a long, slightly curved, maybe white clay pipe. I like one of those. Or even a big Sherlock Holmes calabash thing. Maybe you're thinking of like a classic Harold Wilson pipe. They're cool. I'd quite like a long... Have you ever seen the Sherlock, the 1970s Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes? The type of pipe he smokes, quite long-stemmed. Not quite a Gandalf, but nonetheless quite a long-stemmed one. I think they're quite cool. Although, you get to the stage... If you have anything other than a Harold Wilson one, it gets a bit performative, doesn't it? Gets a bit... Like you're showing off. Like it's a bit try-hard. You know? Might be able to pull it off. I might be able to pull it off, but... Now, you're not wrong that the aesthetic is cool, quite stylish. Okay, and the final one here, got glare on my screen, so I'm going to have to do this. I have to sort out the glare. There's all sorts of little details here we've got to tweak in the studio. Okay, the glare says, sorry, Tatum 2733 says, we've established I'll rule the world in the future, Bo. Yes, that's established. And you'll have hair. I will have hair. And to do the show live from the centre of a man-made lake in Cornwall.
Oh, that's a new...
I like the idea. I've got to live in Cornwall. I'm fine with that. But I've got to actually do the show from the centre of a man-made lake in Cornwall.
Okay, as long as there's enough amenities,
as long as there's like a working toilet there, and a Boots and a Greggs, should be all right. And I'll have hair. I will have hair, according to Tatum. Okay. Thanks for the super chat, sir. I appreciate it. All right. That's the show. That's the last one for the day. Okay, it's Monday, the 7th of September in the year of our Lord 2026. It's just turned 35 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime. You've been the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. It really isn't. I appreciate it. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Try and make the best of the day ahead, if you can. I know it's not always easy. When you're a grown-up, and you've got a job and or kids, loads and loads of responsibilities that take up nearly all your time. You're not really at liberty to spend the time however you would like to. Get that, I get that. But if you are lucky enough to spend the day however you please, try and make it count. You know, I don't want to get too preachy about it. I'm not trying to preach to you. I'm just saying, just pointing out, that your time is the most valuable thing you will ever have. It really is. It honestly is. And it's finite. It's a hard truth. It's finite. Especially when you're young, you think you've got endless days. You've got endless days on this. Oh, I can just waste a day. I'll just spend a big chunk of it sleeping. I'll just waste it playing a computer game I've already completed, whatever. I don't need to. No. Your time is the most valuable thing by orders of magnitude. More valuable than anything else you'll ever own. Gold, silver, gems, houses, cars. You can't take any of that with you, can you? It's not of any value in the final reckoning. Your time is. Your time's the most important thing you have. Try and make it count, if you can, for you. This is for your benefit, if you can. All right. That's enough preaching. You do you. I hope you enjoy the day one way or another. Until tomorrow morning then, take care.